turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the custom king of the SEO show.
Okay, so picture this. It's the nightmare scenario for any business owner, right?
Yeah.
You offer the absolute best service in town. You've got the best product. You've been open for like 10 years. But then someone stands on the sidewalk, literally 50 feet from your front door. They pull out their phone. They type in what they need.
Yeah.
And they walk 3 blocks away to your competitor.
That is the heartbreak of the modern economy. It really is. It's the difference between being visible and, well, being invisible. And that happens thousands of times a day.
Exactly. And today, we're not just talking about, you know, being on the internet. We are doing a deep dive into the actual mechanics of visibility. We're unpacking a guide from Austin Code Monkey on local SEO customer attraction. And the mission today is pretty simple. How do you win that specific split-second decision, that near-me moment?
And just to set the stakes right away, this isn't about vanity metrics or, you know, getting likes on a post. Mm-hmm. When someone searches near me, the intent is. It's radically different from a standard web search.
Oh, so? Because, I mean, I search for random stuff all day long, and I'm rarely buying anything.
Well, think about the context. If you search how to tie a tie, you're just looking for information. You watch a video, you learn, you leave. But if you search dry cleaner near me, you have a dirty suit, you probably have money in your pocket, and you are trying to solve that problem right now. The conversion rate on these near me searches is just astronomical compared to general web traffic.
So we are essentially talking about intercepting revenue.
Precisely. You're intercepting a transaction that is literally about to happen.
Okay, let's get into the weeds then. The guide draws a really hard line between regular SEO and local SEO. And I think for a lot of people, SEO is just this one big bucket term for, you know, Google likes me. Why is that distinction so important here?
It all comes down to the playing field. Regular SEO is a national or even a global popularity contest. If you sell specialized running shoes and you want to rank for the keyword running shoes, you're basically entering the ring against Nike, against Amazon, against Zappos.
Which is a fight you're just going to lose.
100% of the time. You just don't have their budget or their domain authority. But local SEO, it completely changes the rules. It introduces a geographic filter. Google isn't looking for the best shoe store in the world. It's looking for the most relevant shoe store within a 3-mile radius.
So this is the mechanism that allows the little guy to actually beat the giant.
It is the only mechanism that allows. I mean, if you set it up right, a local mom and pop shop can absolutely dominate a national chain in the local search results just because they are more relevant to the person holding the phone.
If you set it up right.
Yeah.
Being the key phrase there. Okay, so let's talk about the prize. The source material, it focuses really heavily on the map pack. For anyone listening, this is that block of like 3 business listings that shows up above the standard links, usually with a little map.
Yeah, we call that position zero.
Position zero.
Because it sits above position one. And frankly, that's where the game is won or lost. Data shows that a massive chunk of clicks, sometimes over 40, 50%, depending on the industry, go to those 3 spots. If you're in spot number 4, you're hidden behind a view more button. You might as well be on the moon.
Okay, so how do we get into the top 3? The guide lists these ranking factors. I'm assuming we can't just bribe the algorithm. The first one is proximity.
Right. And proximity is the one factor you actually can't control unless you move your office. It's strictly distance. How close is the searcher to your business address?
Well, wait, that brings up a huge issue for a lot of businesses, right? If I'm a plumber or a landscaper, I don't care if the customer is close to my office. I go to them. My office might be in some industrial park 10 miles away.
And that's a crucial distinction. We call those service area businesses or SAs. In that case, proximity still matters, but it's based on the service areas you define in your profile. However, Google still gives a little bit of favor to the home base. And this is why you see businesses trying to game the system by setting up fake addresses in different neighborhoods to try and appear close to everyone.
Which the guide explicitly warns against.
Oh, absolutely. That is a one-way ticket to getting your listing completely banned. Do not rent a PO box and call it an office. Don't use your employee's home address. Google knows. It looks for signals like, you know, signage, permanent staffing.
Okay, so we can't fake our location, but the next factor is the Google Business Profile, or GBP. The guide calls this your digital storefront. I feel like most business owners, they claim this, they fill in the hours, and then they just forget about it.
And that is exactly why they fail. The guide really emphasizes completeness. See, Google is risk averse. It does not want to send a user to a business that might be closed or doesn't actually offer what they need.
So leaving fields blank is a trust signal. Or a negative one?
It's a huge negative trust signal. You need to use every single feature. There's a section for attributes, things like woman-led, wheelchair accessible, free Wi-Fi, outdoor seating. These aren't just for show. They are data points that let you show up for these really specific searches.
I see. So if someone searches for coffee shop with wifey or patio dining near me, and you just didn't check that little box on the back end, you're out.
Exactly. You are invisible for that query. And then you've got photos. The guide mentions that profiles with over 100 photos get significantly more calls than those with just a few.
100 photos? That seems excessive for a plumber. I mean, how many pictures of a wrench do you really need?
I know, it sounds like a lot, but think about the user psychology. It's not just, here's a picture of a pipe. It's photos of the team, of the branded truck, the completed job, your storefront, the reception area. It just proves you're active. If your last photo is from 2019, the user and the algorithm subconsciously wonders, are they? Are they still in business?
That makes a lot of sense. It's proof of life. Now, this connects to another acronym in the text that sounded a bit dry, but seems critical. NAP consistency. Name, address, phone number.
It sounds boring, but it is the absolute bedrock of your authority. We call it entity authority.
Okay, explain that. What? Why does it matter if my address is written as street on my website, but saint on Yelp? Surely Google is smart enough to know the difference.
Well, street versus saint is usually fine. Google can parse that. But imagine your Facebook page has an old landline you disconnected 2 years ago. Your website has your cell phone. And the local chamber of commerce lists your old office address from down the block.
It looks messy.
To a human, it's messy. To a machine, it's just conflicting data. Google operates on confidence intervals. If it sees three different versions of your reality, its confidence score in your business just drops. And if confidence drops, rankings drop. It really is that simple.
So the audit here is to basically scour the entire web, Yelp, Yellow Pages, Bing, Facebook, and make sure every single character matches.
Yes. We call these citations. You need a unified digital footprint. If the data is fractured, the trust is fractured.
Let's pivot to the human element. The guide calls reviews the engine of trust. And obviously, 5 stars are better than one. But the guide nuances this with velocity and quality.
Right. We all know we need good reviews, but velocity is the heartbeat. A business with 500 five-star reviews, that looks great until you notice the last one was posted 6 months ago.
It looks dormant, like maybe management changed or they just stopped caring.
Exactly. Versus a business that has, say, 50 reviews, but 3 of them came in just this week. Google prefers the fresh data. It signals that the business is currently operating at a high level.
And quality. I assume this just means longer is better, or is there something specific we need in the text?
It means specific is better. This is a huge hack that the guide hints at. A review that just says, great job, is worth very little in terms of SEO. A review that says, Mike came out to repair my tankless water heater and did a great job fixing the pressure valve, well, that's gold.
Because the customers are inadvertently keyword stuffing for you.
Exactly. They are validating your services in their own words. Google actually reads the review text to understand what services you really provide.
So how do you get those? You can't write them yourself, and you can't exactly force people to write essays for you.
You have to prompt for it. Don't just ask, can you leave a review? Ask, hey, would you mind mentioning that tankless heater we fixed in your review? It helps other customers find us for that specific problem. Most people are happy to do it if you just give them a little direction.
That's a great actionable tip. Now, what about the negative reviews? The guide says we have to respond to everything. Is that just, you know, politeness, or does it actually impact the algorithm?
It's both. It impacts the algorithm because response rate is a tracked metric in your profile health. But psychologically, it's all about damage control. A negative review is not a death sentence, it's an opportunity. If you respond professionally without getting defensive and offer to make it right, a future customer reading that doesn't see bad service, they see an accountable business owner.
It turns a negative into a character witness.
100%. And you'd be surprised how many people will actually delete or update their bad review after you give a thoughtful response.
Okay, let's talk about the website itself. The guide warns against the old school keyword stuffing. And we've all seen those pages.
Yeah.
If you need a lawyer in Austin, our Austin lawyer team is the best lawyer in Austin.
Yeah, it's painful to read, isn't it? It sounds like a robot having a stroke.
It's terrible. But if we can't do that, how do we tell Google where we are?
Through context. You use what we call geomodifiers, naturally. You mentioned neighborhood names. We're located just down the street from the Capitol building, serving the Hyde Park community for 20 years.
So you're anchoring the business to the locality through landmarks and neighborhood names, not just repeating the city over and over.
Right. You're building a semantic web that just screams, I belong here.
What about the multi-location problem? I see this with service businesses all the time. They serve like 15 different suburbs. So they make 15 different pages on their site that are identical, except they swap out Round Rock for Cedar Park.
The find and replace strategy.
Yeah.
It's a total disaster.
Why? I mean, it seems efficient.
Because Google hates duplicate content. If it sees 15 pages that are 95% identical, it will probably index one and just ignore the rest. Or worse, it'll view your site as low-quality spam and penalize the whole domain.
So what's the fix? You really have to write unique content for 15 different suburbs. That sounds like a ton of work.
It is work, but it's the only way to rank. And look, it doesn't have to be Shakespeare. Just talk about the specific challenges in that area. Maybe one suburb has really hard water issues. Mention that on the plumbing page of that town. Maybe another has older historic homes with unique wiring. You mentioned that on the electrician page.
So you make it relevant to the reality of that location.
Exactly. Show you actually know the area. Don't just paste the name in. That's what separates a spam page from a truly helpful local resource.
I want to move to the section of the guide that felt the most deep dive, the future trends, voice search and AI. The guide suggests that the way we search is just fundamentally changing.
Yeah, it's shifting from keywords to conversations.
Meaning?
Well, when you type on a desktop, you use what I call pigeon Google. You type pizza downtown open. But when you talk to Siri or Alexa or now ChatGPT, you use full sentences. You say, where can I get a decent slice of pepperoni near the convention center that's open right now?
That's a much more complex query. That's a whole sentence.
It is. And it requires a totally different optimization strategy. You need to answer questions directly. This is why FAQ sections are becoming SEO goldmines. You literally type out the question people ask, do you offer gluten-free crust? And then you answer it concisely.
You're feeding the answer directly to the voice assistant.
You are spoon-feeding the algorithm. You want your answer to be the one Siri reads out loud. This is often called zero-click search. The user doesn't even have to go to your website. They just get the answer.
Which is great for the user, but tricky for the business if they don't convert. Now, the guide also introduced a term I hadn't seen before, LLM seeding. It mentions Austin CodeMonkey specializes in this. This sounds like science fiction. What is it?
This is the frontier. LLM stands for Large Language Model, the tech behind ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, all of them. We are moving toward a world where people won't get a list of 10 blue links. They will just get an answer. Go to Joe's Pizza.
That sounds terrifying for the business owner. If you aren't the answer, you just don't exist. There's no second place.
Exactly. The winner-take-all dynamic is accelerating. LLM seeding is the process of establishing your business as an entity that these AI models trust.
How do you get a robot to trust you? I mean, it doesn't have feelings.
Consistency and authority. The AI learns from the open web. It reads reviews. It reads news articles. It reads industry directories. If your business is mentioned consistently across high authority sources like local news, the Chamber of Commerce, industry-specific blogs, the AI builds a knowledge graph around you.
So it's PR for robots.
That's a brilliant way to put it. You are convincing the AI that you are the canonical answer for best plumber in Austin. And you do that by ensuring your data is perfect everywhere, your reviews are specific, and legitimate third-party sites are talking about you.
And that ties into hyperlocal personalization. The guide mentioned that search results are getting weirdly specific to the individual.
It's frighteningly precise. I mean, Google knows where you are, obviously, but also knows your search history. So if you visit a lot of vegan websites and you search for restaurants, it's going to weight vegan options higher for you than for me, even if we are standing right next to each other.
So the one true ranking is a myth.
It's gone. Everyone sees a slightly different internet now.
which makes measuring success really, really hard. If I can't just look at my phone and see if I'm number one, how do I know if any of this is working? The guide mentions a timeline.
Yeah, and this is where patience is required. Business owners often want immediate results, but SEO is not a light switch. It's more like a flywheel. The guide suggests 8 to 12 weeks to see movement, but 4 to 6 months for revenue-impacting results.
What's a tough sell for a business owner who needs cash next week?
It is, but the counter argument is that paid ads, PPC, they stop the second you start paying. Local SEO is building an asset. Once you own that top spot, it's really hard to knock you off. You own the real estate instead of just renting it.
And the guide also suggests looking at actions rather than rankings.
Yes. Ignore the vanity ranking. Just look at your GBP dashboard, how many direction requests, how many click-to-calls. Those are high-intent actions. If those numbers are going up, you're winning, even if you're technically ranked number 2 instead of number 1 on someone's specific device.
And I love the low-tech suggestion they included.
The oldest trip in the book.
How did you find us?
Just train your front desk staff. Train your sales team. Just ask the question. If 5 people in a row say Google Maps or I saw you on the map, then you know your strategy is working. Data doesn't have to be digital to be accurate.
So true. Okay, so pulling this all together, we've gone from just checking your name and address to optimizing for super intelligent AI bots. But the core theme seems to remain the same.
It's all about reducing friction.
Reducing the friction between I have a need and here is the solution.
Exactly. Whether it's a detailed review, a correct phone number, or a voice-optimized FAQ, you are just making it easier for the customer to choose you. You are removing every single excuse they might have to go somewhere else.
Before we sign off, I want to leave the listener with a thought that the guide sparked for me. We talked about LLMs and this zero-click future where the AI just gives you the answer. If that really happens, then the websites anymore.
That is the billion-dollar question. We're moving toward what some people call the headless web, the visual website, you know, the brochure we spent thousands of dollars designing. It might become secondary. The primary asset might just be your structured data. Can the machine read who you are? If the machine can't read you, you don't exist.
A sobering thought for the designers out there, but an exciting one for the data geeks. It feels like the internet is becoming less of a library for humans and more of a database for machines.
That is exactly where we are heading. And local SEO is just the process of making sure your entry in that database is correct and trusted.
Okay, homework time. Listener, right now, pick up your phone, pretend you're a total stranger, search for your service in your town. Don't type your business name. Type plumber near me or whatever it is you do and see who comes up. If it's not you, check your profile, check your hours, read your last 3 reviews. That is your reality check.
It's the only audit that really matters.
A big thanks to the team at Austin Code Monkey for the guide that powered this discussion. And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com. Working all night, SEO is making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the cold swinging king of the SEO show.